Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. My name is Peter Mingles, for those people keeping score. Today is a really important and exceptional radio show we're going to do during this special time with an attorney over in North Carolina. His name is Alan Phillips. Little background. I was researching things about vaccines on YouTube and Google, and I found Alan's blog talk radio spot where he's hosting a lot of his vaccine rights agenda type of things, and I was really like socially, silently stalking Alan Phillips in a polite way. I was couldn't wait until he posted his next presentation, and then he disappeared for a little bit. And I said, that's odd, because he was so committed to this, that's odd. And when I reached out to him, because it was easy enough to find, I said, you know, so what's happening and what's going on? And we started speaking a little bit, and then I found out what you're going to hear about on today's radio show. And that kind of put me into action, because I really relied on Alan Phillips providing really wonderful generic information, and I knew he was creating a service for people specifically when they needed them. And if I needed an attorney to help me with what he does, I would be calling him for advice, and if I lived in North Carolina, I'd be hiring him. So I was just really upset when I heard some of the things that were going on. And then I got even more upset when I found out some of the things that are happening right now. So on Building Fortunes Radio, we wanted to provide a platform for people doing things the right way. And I wanted to share with our Building Fortunes Radio listening audience an opportunity to take action and help me help Alan in what he's going through. So some of you might be wondering, you know, this is the first time you've plugged in, what are we talking about? I'm going to let Alan tell you a little bit about himself, the plight that he's under right now, and I'm going to ask for everyone that's listening in to share this with as many people as they possibly can so they can take action. If you're going to donate some time, some money, some resources, some of your friends, all those types of things, a lot of you are very well connected with lots of different people, places, organizations, and resources. This is one cause I'll ask you to personally get involved with, because I totally believe in everything that he's doing. So, Alan Phillips, thanks for being here on Building Fortunes Radio.
Well, Peter, it's a real honor and pleasure to be here with you today. Thanks for having me back. And for today in particular, I'm particularly humbly grateful for the opportunity to come on and talk to you and your listeners about what's going on in my situation.
Yeah, so maybe you can start the transition from, like, where I first found you. You were talking about vaccine and vaccine rights and personal vaccine exemptions, and you were doing so on a regular radio show for quite a while, and then all of a sudden that stopped. And part of the reason why this stopped is because you get your legs tangled into this lawsuit or whatever we're going to call whatever's going on. So can you share with people a little bit about what you do and what you're up to right now?
Sure. I discovered the growing vaccine controversy when my oldest son, who's 25 now, was born. And just a couple of quick bullet point facts. The federal government over the last 30 years has paid out $4 billion because of people injured and killed by vaccines. The vaccine manufacturers have no direct liability. If anyone is injured or killed by vaccines, they have to go to this government program to see if they can get compensation. And $4 billion is a large number, even spread over 30 years. It's over $100 million a year on average. But we have a report from the Federal Department of Health and Human Services that says less than 1% of vaccine adverse events ever get reported. Less than 1%. So we have no idea the real scope of vaccine injury and vaccine death. whole story right there we could come back and dive into sometime. But that's just an example of what has inspired me to, first of all, recognize that there is a legitimate controversy about immunizations and people's right or lack of right, as the case may be, to make an informed choice about whether or not vaccines for themselves or their children. And so I was actually moved by this issue to go to law school. After 17 years, I went back to school and I picked law school because of this issue. And there are two broad practice areas in law concerning vaccines. One is with this federal vaccine injury compensation program. There are about 130 attorneys around the country who work in that program. Some 30 to 50 of them, who it's either all they do or the biggest part of their practice. And the other practice area is vaccine exemptions and waivers. And exemptions are potentially involved anywhere vaccines are required, and they're required at birth for school, daycare, college enrollment, increasingly as a condition of employment, as the CDC and vaccine manufacturers work aggressively to open up the adult market, require more and more vaccines to be required, not just of children, but of adults throughout our lives. And they're required for immigrants, required for members and families of the military, and various subdivisions of all these different categories. So I was just really amazed and surprised originally to discover how deep and broad the vaccine exemption arena is. And Peter, I am the only attorney in the country that does what I do at anywhere near the level that I do it. The only attorney who works in all these different exemption areas, and the only attorney who works with other attorneys and clients all over the country, and in fact as it concerns immigration vaccines occasionally with clients around the world immigrating to the U.S. and required under U.S. immigration law to be vaccinated to come in. So it's fascinating, lonely in a sense, being the only one who does all these different areas and things. But I consider myself to be as much or more an activist as a lawyer, in the sense of people hire me to provide legal services. And in my case, it's all that I do is help people understand and exercise their right to legally refuse immunizations in all any one or more of all those different categories. But really, there's massive corruption in the pharmaceutical industry, and I would go so far as to say that this is, it's like people from time to time say, I'm not anti-vaccine, but then they're out there fighting in an anti-vaccine world. Well, maybe they are, maybe they aren't. I'm not anti-pharmaceutical in any absolute sense. It's not my first choice of a place to go if there are other means of addressing something. But frankly, I want all the options on the table, and I do believe the pharmaceutical industry has provided some good options for some people in some situations. But this is an industry, and this next information comes directly off the Federal Justice Department website. I found, searching that website, 55 combined criminal civil fines greater than $100 million. 55 since 2001 through the end of 2018 against pharmaceutical companies. So this is not a conspiracy theory, right off federal government website. Criminal fines against pharmaceutical companies in the hundreds of millions of dollars are common, and there have been criminal fines as high as $1 billion. So whatever good the industry produces, it also routinely engages in massive criminal behavior. So there are serious problems with the industry generally, with vaccines in particular, and so I got out there into the field, and it turns out that as an activist, what I'm really doing is working to expose some pretty substantial, if not massive, corruption in the industry. And Peter, as I'm sure you know or can well imagine, when you take on corruption, you subject yourself to attack. And that's exactly what has happened to me, longer to happen, frankly, than I thought. But a little over 2 years ago, somebody filed a frivolous complaint against me. This happens all the time with attorneys. People get mad because they lost their case or whatever. But this woman was not a client, just business partner. And I decided not to do business with her, and so she essentially retaliated by filing a fake or false complaint. Well, she appears to have tapped into a pre-existing nest of corruption in the North Carolina State Bar. I don't know what else to call it. I mean, there are about 17 attorneys that work full-time there in the Capitol, Raleigh at the North Carolina State Bar, and a few dozen other non-attorney employees who all do various things concerning regulating the practice of law here in North Carolina. But basically, they issued what they call a warning letter in which they said she was a client when she clearly wasn't. 3 weeks of emails show that, not that. Said that I advised her about law in California, which I clearly did not. They didn't ever show me any evidence for that. And this woman's own email says she consulted somebody else about California law. And I even had a California legal expert later review the 3 weeks of emails, and she says, not only is there, you're not giving any legal advice here, but even if you had given her legal advice in these circumstances, it wouldn't have been a violation. California has some exceptions to the usual rule. Attorneys are licensed in one or more states or territories. I can't advise anybody outside of North Carolina because I'm only licensed in North Carolina. I can't advise people anywhere else about their state law, and I don't. But I can and do advise people anywhere in the country about federal law. But anytime state law is involved, I say, hey, you got to get a local attorney on the line, and that's what we do. We involve a local attorney, and that's a regular part of my practice, advising local attorneys and their local clients all over the country. There just isn't anyone else doing what I'm doing, so you won't find a local attorney for most exemption matters who really, you know, knows exemption law. There's a handful of attorneys around the country who do some piece of the total exemption picture, and there certainly are attorneys who are aware of the vaccine controversy and concerned about that, even though their practice doesn't involve vaccines. So attorneys are slowly but surely waking up like everybody else to this issue. But they issued what they call a warning letter and said, you know, you practice law without a license in California. So, okay, whatever. Isolated instance, I let it go. Well, the same woman files another complaint later. Well, I had no interaction with her whatsoever. There's no new facts, no new information, but the bar opens another investigation. Well, the law says you have to accuse the person of having actually done something wrong, and they're not accusing me of doing anything new wrong. So I think it's an unlawful investigation from the start. And they say, because you're working with clients all over the country, you must be practicing law without a license all over the country. I'm not, as I just explained. But they think I must be, and so they want to dig through hundreds of client files until they find something. Well, in the first instance, they literally made up facts and law. They had no support for she was a client and I advised her law about California law, and my evidence showed exactly the opposite of that. And I had a California legal expert saying that even if I had advised her about California law under these circumstances, not a rule violation. So they invented facts and law. And I'm like, I'm not handing over client files. First of all, my clients have privacy rights. You don't even have a valid investigation in the first place. And if I did hand over stuff, you're not going to find anything, but you'll make something up because you did it before. And it didn't occur to me. I was a little naive about this, but when I got far enough into the situation, and a good friend of mine says, Alan, this was premeditated. They were planning to take your license from the start here. They just built a case with that first step, made stuff up, and now they're trying to use that against me. So I said, look, you know, you have the authority to take my license. Go for it. I mean, I don't want you to, but I'm not going to hand over my client files. I'm not going to cooperate with an illegal proceeding. And so I resigned myself to the fact that I was going to lose my license. I would find a way to work with other attorneys, keep doing the work that I'm doing. It would radically alter my life, to say the least. But I was not going to tolerate that. And not only that, I'm going to do whatever it takes for however long it takes to expose the corruption there, because you guys are violating law with what you're doing. So I did the one thing you never do. I filed complaints with the North Carolina State Bar against the State Bar attorneys. They had clearly violated ethical rules, and I complained against them. Well, they can't investigate themselves, obviously, conflict of interest, but oops, that's exactly what they've been doing. Ironically, they've engaged in a pattern of unethical behavior to suppress the complaints against them that reveal that they engaged in unethical behavior. Sort of ironic, to put it mildly. Well, They didn't take my license. Instead, they sued me. Now, what was going on was an administrative proceeding. They were investigating me as a state agency, the North Carolina State Bar, the agency that licenses North Carolina attorneys. They don't have to go to court to take my license, but they filed a lawsuit. Why did they file a lawsuit? Well, they're saying we subpoenaed all these client files he didn't give us, so now we want a court order demanding that I hand over the client files. And if they get that order and I say no, I can go to jail for that. So they're upping the ante. We are above the law. We can do whatever we want. And you're going to give us the client files one way or the other, even if we have to sue you for it and throw you in jail. So they have to prove that they are above the law. They can do whatever they want. They get whatever they ask for. And they have to send a message to everybody else, because I'm standing up to them in a way and to a degree that no one else has. Well, when it occurred to me that the only explanation that fit the facts was that this was premeditated from the start, I said, I wonder if I'm an isolated case or anybody else has experienced this. And so I did a little bit of my own investigating, and only a preliminary investigation, but I have found 9 or 10 other attorneys now in North Carolina who say, yes, Alan, I was either formally disciplined or even disbarred based on invented facts. Now, I'm not talking about the punishment was, you know, more severe than they thought they deserved or anything like that. I'm talking literally invented facts. And I have talked to 2 North Carolina attorneys who represent attorneys with the bar for a living. So these are not attorney victims. These are attorneys who are professionals who represent other attorneys. That's an entire practice area. And they have quietly said, yeah, Alan, this goes on. So I have some really profound validation that what I'm experiencing has happened before, perhaps for years, and affecting some unknown number of attorneys. And it's not okay with me. That is not okay with me. So we had a hearing in the court case recently, and the hearing had to do with what's called discovery. Discovery is a process where you get to ask the other side to hand over any documents or answer questions, anything relevant to the case. Well, my position is the same. I'm not giving you guys anything. You're going to make stuff up. That's what you've done before. Now other people have confirmed for me that you make stuff up with other people. I'm not an isolated case. There is probably, I have proof that they invented facts and law with me. I have strong suspicions because I haven't looked at anybody else's evidence, but it certainly seems possible given all that I just said. So I have to assume that there's a legitimate and real possibility that this goes way beyond me as an isolated case. Now, I'm the only one they're coming after because of vaccines. There isn't anybody else who does what I do, but clearly there's a pattern of behavior going beyond me personally here. So it's not okay with me. So I am not going to see whether or not I can expose this misconduct at the bar and have these people investigate it. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get there. So the recent hearing was over discovery. There were actually 4 different motions on the table, but there was one issue that everything else turned on. And the issue is I have complaints against the bar attorneys while they are suing me and investigating me. There's a conflict of interest there. I wasn't asking to get out of anything. All I said was, Judge, there's a conflict of interest. These people need to get an outside attorney. They can't come after me while I have open complaints against them. So the court order comes in, and the court essentially indicates that the bar attorneys can investigate themselves. That's okay. So let me elaborate on that point just a little bit, because this is really disturbing. On the one hand, it's not surprising. The system protects itself. If there was just 1 or 2 isolated people that didn't have the system supporting them, I wouldn't be in the situation. It would have been fixed a long time ago, because I'm not the first person who ever objected. I'm just the first person who has filed complaints against them and gone to efforts that are going to amplify in the next few days, talk about that in a minute, to call attention to this issue, whatever it takes to get it handled. So while we're in the hearing earlier this month, the bar attorney says to the judge, "Oh, judge, it's okay. Alan filed these complaints against bar attorneys, but we passed those complaints to another attorney in the bar who wasn't named in Alan's complaint, so it's okay. There's no conflict of interest here." Now, put aside the fact that there's legal precedent court case from just a year ago saying even a much smaller conflict had to be delegated out to the Georgia State Bar, had to go to another state bar because of the conflict, much smaller conflict than this one, that is just crazy. But let's assume for a moment that could be true, that as long as they gave it to somebody who wasn't named in my complaint, so that would be okay. Well, the reason that's not okay, even if that were true, is that named in my complaints are two people who are in management supervisory positions. All the attorneys at the bar are under these two people. So there's nobody at the bar who could possibly be unconflicted or not conflicted because they'd be examining complaints about their own boss. So this is how absurd this is. And how disturbing, frankly, that a court would issue that order. Now, I'm going to appeal the order if I can. The general rule is that you can't appeal an order in the middle of a case. And this is an order in the middle of a case. It's not the final order about whether I have to hand over client files, which is why they filed the lawsuit. It's about a preliminary matter, discovery, handing over information and documents and so forth. So I don't know whether the appellate court will hear this or not, but I'm certainly going to ask. And the worst that can happen is they say no. But what's disturbing here is that the glaring message is the system protects itself, and the bar isn't going to cooperate with an investigation of themselves. And frankly, what's interesting here, there's a letter posted on my nonprofit website. I created a nonprofit to call attention to this issue, and the nonprofit is called Bar Watch Incorporated. The web address is barwatchonline.org, and I believe, Peter, you've posted some things on your website. Certainly send people there, but here's what I want folks to look at. It'll take you 5 minutes. There's a short one-paragraph letter from the Bar Council at North Carolina State Bar, the lead attorney at the bar. This one letter, which is a one paragraph, like nine lines, a short one paragraph, that one paragraph has multiple ethical violations in the letter. And if you go look at this letter, then you scroll down and you read my bullet points, your jaw will drop to the floor. This is the lead attorney who's just literally making up facts and law left and right, and you don't have to be an attorney to read the bullet points and understand most, if not all of it there, that, wow, this really doesn't make sense. You mean the lead attorney will write a letter just making stuff up? Needless to say, that is a very serious ethical violation. This person and the others involved need to be investigated. And if the investigation bears out what my documents prove and what my other allegations propose, there's going to be some very serious consequences for these people. This is why they are behaving in, frankly, more and more desperate ways to keep all of this hidden. But at the same time, they have a system that backs them up, and so they have a certain level of confidence, unfortunately, that's justified. So how do we break through this? Well, Peter, the way to expose corruption is to put a light on it. So I'm going to file a motion bringing to the court's attention the misconduct that occurred in the hearing. There was another event that happened since the hearing that was blatant misconduct. And I'm going to say, Judge, there's in and since the last hearing, here are new allegations of misconduct. And the court does also have authority, as does the state bar, to review complaints against attorneys, to look at ethical issues. But I don't think the judge, any judge is likely, I can't say for sure, but I don't, based on what I've seen so far, based on what I've heard from others, I don't think the court is going to do anything but rubber stamp the bar for any number of reasons, unless there's a spotlight on this. So I'm going to do what I can to put a spotlight. There's going to be a press release very soon. Peter, I will email that to you and a link to it that I invite you to share with your listeners. And this is an issue that is not just a North Carolina issue, because my clients, again, are all over the country. So the main issues in the press release, and these are mainstream concerns. I mean, the alternative vaccine community is concerned about losing me as a resource because there's no one else to step in. If I lose my license, there's no replacement. But the mainstream world should be concerned that a court has said that bar attorneys can investigate themselves, because frankly, that's ridiculous. And they should also be concerned that even though they're not accusing me of doing anything specific wrong, they didn't say, Alan, you advised Sally Smith in Kansas about Kansas law without a Kansas license. They're just saying, well, you work with clients around the country, you got to be doing something wrong somewhere. This is called a fishing expedition. That's an actual legal term, and it's illegal. But again, the court is rubber stamping the bar on this issue. So we need to put a spotlight on all of this, and the press release is part of that. I can't tell anybody else what to do, at least not in any direct way, but if people wanted to invite their own local media to cover this, because it is a national issue, it does affect people all over the country, they certainly could do that. I'm also going to send letters to a number of North Carolina officials that have authority to start an investigation or force an investigation, because the bar is not going to cooperate with an investigation. It would be very ugly, very embarrassing, ultimately, and probably very expensive, frankly, because when there's an investigation and the truth comes out about what's been going on there for years, well, let's just say it's going to be messy. So I can imagine, at least up to a certain point, can understand people saying, I'm not going to touch that one. My goal is to put public officials in North Carolina, those who would have authority to address this issue, to shift their likely initial position of, I'm not opening that can of worms, to, I get to take credit for fixing this problem. And I think the shift can only come when there's a spotlight. So I'm going to write letters, and other people can do whatever they want to do. But, Peter, I think you have information for some people who are who have an answer to the question, what can I do to help?
We do, and we're trying to do everything we can over here, and then I'll learn about other things we can do, because I'm into this completely. There's an email address, defendalan@protonmail.com, defend, D-E-F-E-N-D, Alan, A-L-A-N, at protonmail.com. If you send an email there, we'll make sure that someone gets in contact with you and gives you some information on what we might be doing moving forward as well. And if you're a Building Fortunes Radio listening audience member, if you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/vaccines, you'll be able to hear the first radio show that we did on more of the backdrop behind the case, and this radio show again, so you'll be able to transfer it over to somebody else, so you don't have to go over this and try to explain it, because it's very convoluted in reference to if, once you start getting through this. So we're doing everything we possibly can. And Alan, I know we wanted to try to keep this down to 30 minutes, but it's going to be a little bit longer than that, only because I know you want to say probably a few more things. So for those people listening in, we're taking action. We're doing whatever we can with the resources that we have. And you'd be surprised when you really start to think about it. I'm talking to our Building Fortunes Radio listening audience, the reach that you have and the reach that you can develop to shine this big spotlight on this huge problem. So we got two issues here. For me, it's the idea of what Alan does on a regular day, on a regular basis, personal exemptions for people with vaccines. I personally think that if you want to take a vaccine and you want to take 100 million of them, and you want to do whatever you want to do with you and your kids. You deserve the freedom to be able to do that. But you should be able to let me decide whether it's on religious or whatever basis reasons or personal basis reasons or whatever's going on with other things. I really see a negative consequence of this as a challenge. And if you're reading and researching anything, you'll see that the World Health Organization has listed anti-vaxxers as a health threat. You'll see that Facebook has decided to not show different things talking about vaccines. All the social media things are censoring information. And to see the only attorney who in the United States focuses on personal exemptions now being snuffed out, quieted down, potentially thrown in jail, to me is just appalling. So I know that you took a whack-a-mole kind of approach initially where you kept your head below the surface, you know, just doing your business, but now you're heads up and making a stand and shining that spotlight, and you're not going to do it alone. You're going to do it with a lot of our Building Fortunes Radio and other people's help as well. So, Alan, we're right behind you. So for those people that want to learn more, you can go send an email to defendalan@protonmail.com. Proton is P-R-O-T-O-N, mail.com. And then you can always hear the previous things we've done before on Building Fortunes Radio. So you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/vaccines. And then, Alan, I know you said you had that regular website that you put up just for people that might be taking notes. It's barwatchonline.org, barwatchonline.org. And what other contact information or websites do you want to give people now?
Well, if people are looking for information about vaccine rights, I have a vaccine rights website, vaccinerights.com, and there's contact information. Anybody who wants to reach out to me with questions or concerns, or maybe they have some information, excuse me, something to offer, what have you. Contact information is there at vaccinerights.com, but I'll just go ahead and say the email address is attorney@vaccinerights.com. And I think there's sort of an interesting experiment here, because I think anywhere there's corruption, you know, Peter, you just listed quite accurately and frankly disturbingly some of the things that are going on to shut down the whole vaccine movement, the vaccine awareness movement. There are employed a number of different steps and techniques, a lot of propaganda to create fear of not only the infectious diseases, so that everybody wants to run out and get their vaccines, whether they need them or not, pretending that they are safe when they're not. At one level, they're just creating widespread chronic illness, which means the industry is using vaccines to manufacture customers for other products, which is just quite disturbing. And I said, you know, most of the adverse events are not even reported, and they have to keep them from being reported to hide the fact that they are manufacturing customers for other pharmaceutical products. So what's going on is quite insidious, and many people, frankly, would just find all this disbelievable, and I certainly felt that way initially, but as I've researched for many years now on and on, more and more, and see more and more information, I eventually had to go where the facts took me, and that's where I am now. So the experiment, so to speak, here, and I think at the end of the day, the way you deal with corruption anywhere is you put a light on it. You know, the larger vaccine controversy, Peter, is not going to be resolved by some lawsuit or some new law or some new medical study. Don't get me wrong. We need all of those things. We need to fight the battle on all the different levels where it comes to us. But at the end of the day, those systems are largely controlled. And until we expose the corruption, we're not going to break through that control. So you expose the corruption ultimately by putting a spotlight on it. You put a spotlight on it by enough people coming together in a unified voice and saying, we're being lied to. No, we're not playing this game anymore. And my situation at the state bar is certainly smaller than the international pharmaceutical cartel problem, but it's a big issue nevertheless, and national for the reasons I mentioned. My clients are all over the country. And something that we can use as an opportunity, not only to you know, save my career personally and keep my life from being destroyed, but to hopefully stop other lives from being destroyed that are in process or have already been destroyed. You just get some sort of accountability and corrective measures for the damage that's already occurred. But for us to have the opportunity and experience of coming together to create a national spotlight to put on this corruption, if we succeed in doing that here, we can do it other places too. So again, that email address is some activists who have taken up of their own initiative a process of putting together project and information, and people can participate with nothing more than a few minutes of their time. And there are ways people can contribute to a legal defense fund if they choose to do that. There are petitions people can sign, which take you only a few seconds, you know, a minute or two. But there are going to be other things people can do that just involve a little bit of time if they're willing to do that, to come together as a national effort to put a spotlight on this problem so that we can make sure that the people with the authority and power to do something about it will see that they need to do that, if for no other reason, because their next election may depend on it, or hopefully because they realize that this is the right thing to do. So I will be posting more information, more complete and thorough information, documentation of misconduct of the North Carolina Bar on the Bar Watch website, probably sometime by or before next weekend. The press release will probably go out in the next day or two at most, and the fun begins from there, if any of this could ever be called fun. But it is going to be interesting, Peter, to see what the response is, to see if the alternative community says, you know, hey, we want to come together and as such create the brightest spotlight we can here.
Right, and we'll be part of that for sure. So for the people that are listening in, however you find this radio show, many of you go to the buildingfortunesradio.com and look for it over there. But if you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/vaccines, you'll be able to see that. You'll be able to check out the different things that we do. And I'm all in as far as helping Alan out, getting the two issues done, the personal exemptions and then also the corruption on the North Carolina bar. Because what they're doing to him, in my opinion, is just absolutely flat-out wrong. And it's got to be the light shines on it. And unfortunately, when this is done, it's going to unearth a whole bunch of other things as well, and that's why the resistance. So let's do what we possibly can to make sure this happens. So send an email to defendallen@protonmail.com. We'll send out some information as well. You can go to the www.barwatchonline.org and or you can just do some Google searches and take a look at Alan Phillips as well. And we will be back next time on Building Fortunes Radio. Alan, I'll let you give it the last 30 or 60 seconds.
Well, I just really appreciate again, am humbly grateful for the opportunity to come here and share anytime information about the work I do or people's rights and so forth, but even more so today given this situation. This is something that goes way beyond me personally and my career and income and so forth, to both attorneys in North Carolina generally and their safety and protection, but to the rights of people throughout the country in all the different categories I mentioned at the top of the show there, and various subcategories of those where people do have a right to refuse mandatory immunizations, and for people to understand those rights, to be able to exercise those rights, to have support with their legislative activism, to get laws giving us expanded rights to make informed choices and anything related to these issues. Committed to this issue fully, have been for years and remain even more so. Every time I hear of another person injured or killed by a vaccine, it breaks my heart further. Empowers my commitment to do everything I can to expose the pharmaceutical corruption on this matter, to get to a place where we have healthcare policies and laws that reflect real science and give people legitimate and appropriate rights and options about what to put in their bodies, their children's bodies. There are other things that people can do that work as well or better that don't come with a risk of injury or death. So,
absolutely.
Enormous
problems.
Great
information. Yeah, great information. Okay, we'll keep in touch. Thanks, everybody, for being here on Building Fortunes Radio. Thank you, Alan, and we'll catch everyone next time. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.